This is Shvach. This is Shvach. Good morning, everybody. This shiur is dedicated to a prayer for Refuah Shlema and a successful operation for Roni Rivka Bat Rachel. She should have a Refuah Shlema in the Zchut of the Torah that we're going to study here today. I think what we're going to deal with today is one of the most understood parshiot in all of Torah. Now, you may disagree with me, but I don't think when you finally hear what I have to say, you'll agree with me. If there's ever been a parsha that has been misinterpreted and not understood, and simply, I would say, torn to shreds by centuries and millennia of people studying the parsha, it's the parsha of the story of Yitzchak calling his son Esav to give him the blessings, and then everything that follows from that. A Rivka who plans to make sure that Esav doesn't get it, and she prepares and commands her son Yaakov to conduct an operation of absolute deception against Yitzchak. Oh, the amateur darshanim, they have a field day over here. Oh, what a field day. You can just sit and create a whole Torah out of this. Ah, this is a dysfunctional family. Rivka doesn't speak to Yitzchak. Why doesn't she just walk over to him and tell him, Yitzchak, you're making a terrible, terrible mistake. You want to give that miserable Russia Esau the wrong... She doesn't communicate. Why don't they communicate? How many years has this been going on? How much have the children suffered because of this? You can do a job on every one of the members of this drama. Rivka has problems with Yitzchak. Yitzchak has problems with Yaakov and with Esav. Yaakov has problems with Rivka and with Yitzchak. This is such a dysfunctional family. The only one, of course, who rises above the wreckage of this family and is the knight in shining armor, Reb Esav Shlita, he's the innocent one. The poor Nebuch who cries his miserable eyes out, Father, don't you have a bracha for me? You can manage to take this parsha and really wreck it completely. We're going to put this parsha back together again. Because there's a general rule. The rule that one always has to live with is read the parsha. Read it carefully. And don't read into it. Many people read the parsha and they already have their preconceived notions. This is a terrible thing. I remember hearing all sorts of interpretations. One great... quotation mark, Rabbi Yaakov was a mama's boy. And so this is the profound insight that one is to take out of this parsha. He was a mama's boy. Rivka, of course, is a woman who's, maybe it's because she comes from the house of Lavan and Bethuel, who are deceivers. She deceives her husband. Yitzchak, of course, is the one who doesn't know whether he's coming or going. The proof that this parasha has been misinterpreted throughout all of history is because the expression, I pulled the wool over his eyes. This exception in English, in the whole world, where does it come from? Pulling the wool over his eyes, fooling somebody, deceiving somebody, leading somebody down a garden path. Comes from this parsha. That's what Yaakov and Rivka are doing.
Anybody who looks at it that way simply hasn't read the parasha, hasn't read it with the eyes of Torah. And what you're going to see before our very eyes, by the way, I am afraid of one thing, that I may not say everything I want to say today. And if I get worried about it, then we may go into extra innings on this parasha. But what's necessary over here is to read the parasha and let the parasha speak to you. Every word is weighed and measured. There's significance, there's meaning to it all. I've said enough. Now, let the parasha say the rest. I am basing myself a great deal, well, I'd say, on the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, 150 years ago. Sefer was written, Ksav HaKabbalah. Here it is. Here it is. I've been glued to this now for three or four days. My wife can testify that I was lost in this Sefer for the last few days. And of course, I believe that I've come up with a few insights myself. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, sell myself short. What are you talking about? All right. Vayehi ki zaken Yitzchak. And it came to pass. Here you have the parasha in front of you. And it came to pass when Yitzchak was old, vatichenu einot meros, and his eyes had become dim from seeing. Vayikra et Esav beno hagadol, he called to Esav, his older son. Vayomer elav, and he said to him, Bini, my son. Vayomer elav, and Esav, of course, answers in the classic tradition of Avram, Moshe, the great people, Hineni, Yitzchak also. Yitzchak, Avram, Yitzchak, everybody, Hineni. Vayomer, he said, Hinein also come to have grown old, lo yadati yo moti, I don't know when I'm going to die. Va'ato, now. We're going to have to understand the significance of the word ato. It's an unnecessary word. It could have simply continued without the word va'ato. Sono keilecho, take your gear. Tel yecho v'kashtecho. Tel Yecho v'kashtecho, your sword. The sword is called Tel Yecho because it hangs down from one's waist. Tel Yecho v'kashtecho, and your bow. V'tzei hasodeh, and go out to the field. V'tzuda li tzayid, and hunt for me a hunting. Now, here also the word hasodeh. Why is this word sodeh necessary? If he tells him to go out and hunt. Where's he going to hunt? In the house? In the tent? In the besmedrash? Where do you think he's going to hunt? Of course it's going to be in the field. Why does he say, hasodeh, vaseli matamim, and make for me delicacies, kasher ahavti, as I have loved, vohavi oli v'ochelo, bring it to me and I will eat, ba'avur tvorechecho nafshi, Beterem omus, in order that my soul may bless you before I die. Rivka shomat, Rivka's listening in, and she hears b'daber Yitzchak al Esav b'no, when Yitzchak is speaking to his son Esav. And meanwhile, now watch this. This is going to be very fascinating. Vayelech Esav hasodeh. Esav went to the field, lotzud tzayid lahavi, to hunt and bring. Now, here is something none of the Mefarshim talk about. At this moment in my life, it's only me. I'm asking the question. V'rifka amra el Yaakov b'no lemar. And Rivka, the English translation here is good. Amra means had said. Whenever you have the verb after the noun, Rivka Amira. It means that this is past perfect. It's something that had taken place. And the simple way it should have been written is Vatomer Rivka. If one thing is following the next, then Esav goes out into the field, it's said in the pasuk before, Vatomer Rivka, and Rivka said to her son, Yaakov beno, to her son, Yaakov lemar, Hine shamati et avicha, medaber el Esav achicha lemar, I heard your father speaking to your brother Esav. We'll get back. What does it mean? V'rivka amra, and Rivka had said. Had said before what? It all just happened now. When in the past did Rivka say this? Personally, I believe that this is so significant because it's going to set the stage for everything that's going to happen. Look at the pasuk before. Again, let's take a look at that. The pasuk before. Pasuk before says that Rivka hears Yitzhak speaking to his son Esav, and the second half of the pasuk says that Esav went out into the field to hunt. Now, if it would say now, Vatomer Rivka, and Rivka said, it would mean that after Esav had gotten his gear together, he goes for his sword, he goes for his bow, he may take lunch along with him, after he's made these preparations and he has already gone out into the field, that's when Rivka finally decides to speak to Yaakov. That would be a terrible mistake. That's not what happened. Because the moment that Rivka heard what's happening, she swung into action immediately. So therefore, but the only way for the pasuk to tell us this is the following. The pasuk says, Rivka hears what Yitzchak is saying to Esav, and then Esav goes on his way. Now that's a little bit of time. There's a time factor. Esav going out, gathering together all that he needs, putting it on his horse or on his donkey, and off he goes into the field. That time was not lost by Rivka. She knows the moment she hears what Yitzchak plans on doing, she knows that she must act immediately, swiftly, quickly, with alacrity. Can't let a minute be lost. Who knows when Esav is going to return? He may return at any minute, and God forbid he'll find Yaakov in there with Yitzchak. Who knows what's going to happen? No time can be wasted. How does the pasuk tell us this? By telling us that Esav went off into the field, and then it says, V'rivka amra. Don't worry, Esav is out there already hunting, but Rivka had already said to Yaakov. The fact is, the idea of past perfect is so significant. This structure in Hebrew, the structure of the verb coming after the noun, is so important. And of all the parashot in Torah, it is this parasha where it's more important than any other, because so many people made such a mistake because they didn't understand past perfect. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. Turn over. At the top of the page, we have the beginning of Parshat Toldot. At this point, we don't need everything, but take a look by Esav comes into the house. Take a look over there. Where is it? Pasuk. Five lines from the bottom. Vayozed Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov is cooking lentils. Vayovo Esav ben Asoda. Esav came from the field, and he's exhausted. Vayomer Esav ben Yaakov. And Esav said to Yaakov, Haliteni nomin ha'adom. Ha'adom was there. Give me to eat this red stuff. Ki oyef onochi. Because I am exhausted. The word onochi is also going to be extremely important. But meanwhile, he comes into the house. We all know the story. Comes into the house. He says, "I'm hungry. I'm starving." Al kein korosh moedom. Therefore, they called his name Red. Vayomer Yaakov. Yaakov says, "Michro chayomis bechorat chali. Sell me today your birthright." Vayomer Esav. Esav says, "Hinei anochi holach lamut. I'm going to die from hunger. Who needs the birthright? What do I need it for?" Vayomer Yaakov. Yaakov said, "Hishavali, swear to me, kayom." Vayishavalo, he swore to him. Vayinkers bechoroso Yaakov, and he sold his birthright to Yaakov. The picture that most people walk away with from this exchange in these two psukim is that Yaakov is heartless. Yaakov is cruel. I may even describe the scene as it's taking place. "Yaakov, I'm going to die. I'm exhausted. I'm hungry." No, Esav. "Sell me your birthright." "All right, I'll sell you the birthright." No. "We need 4 copies. And we need a lawyer with his chotemet to seal it. And if we don't have a stapler to staple all the sheets, of garnish it." "I'm dying." "Sorry, it all has to be legal. We've got to do it now." And by the way, if you want to change your mind, just take a whiff of this. No. We get the picture here of a Yaakov who's absolutely cruel to his brother. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that most people who read it exactly like that. Along comes the Torah in absolute brilliance. What does the next pasuk say? "V'Yaakov natan le'esav lechem unizid adashem." It doesn't mean that Yaakov gives him to eat after he has signed in quadruplicate. And after it's past tabu, Yaakov gave him to eat instantly. And all the negotiations started afterwards. And how does the Torah tell it to us? Simply by the order of the words. V'Yaakov natan. And Yaakov had given. Yaakov gave him to eat the moment he said he came into the house and said he's hungry. And not only he gave him the zid adashim, he gave him bread also. There was no cruelty here on the part of Yaakov. He gave him to eat. That's not the issue at all. And how does the Torah show it to us? The order of 2 words. V'Yaakov natan. And it does not say, V'yitain Yaakov. If everything is following chronologically, that after he agrees and he swears that he's selling the Bechorah, only then does Yaakov give him to eat? It would have had to say, Vayitain Yaakov, the normal way in which things are written. Yeah. The Yaakov, Natan means he had given. What are you talking about? Yeah. Yaakov is going to let a fellow human being be hungry for a minute. V'schetzta, narishka. How many people go through this parasha? But they don't get it. They don't get it. You, Baruch Hashem, all got it. Now, the fascinating thing is this same structure of past perfect. This exact same structure is over here. V'Rivka Omra, and Rivka had said. What I'm concerned about, I'll tell you, the English translation. Jacob gave. Jacob had given. They get it correct when it comes to V'Rivka Amra. What's the translation there? Had given. There they got it straight. They didn't get it straight. And it's a big mistake. A big mistake. Yaakov had given. What do I accomplish, first of all, just by saying pshat in the Rivka Amra? The Rivka Amra sets the stage that haste is the most significant aspect of this entire undertaking. There's a plot, there's a plan. Something has to be done, but it must be done swiftly, because we don't know when this great hunter of all is going to return home with the that which he has gone out to seek on behalf of his father. So let's go back. I heard your father speaking to your brother Esav, so saying, bring me from your hunting. Or the word tsayid also means food. How does he? Behold, I heard your father speaking to your brother Esav, saying, bring me some game and make me delicacies to eat. Vaseli matamim va'ochelo, and I will eat. Vavorechecho lefnei Hashem, and I will bless you before God lefnei moti, before I die. Vi'ata b'ni. She's using the same word, va'ata. Just as Yitzchak had begun when he spoke to Esav, and he says, ata, now. Time is of the essence. And more than time is of the essence, we're going to see the particular time at which this is all taking place is also extremely significant. Mm-hmm. But wait. Shema b'koli, listen to my voice. La asher ani mitzaveh utach, that which I command you. She's very careful what she's saying here. She realizes and she understands that she is putting Yaakov into a dilemma of a terrible sort. She wants a son who loves his father dearly, to go ahead and deceive him. Yaakov is ish tam yoshev ha'olam. He's ish ha'emes. Titein emes liyaakov. Yaakov is truth. What she is going to be asking of him is to do something that seems deceitful. Most difficult thing. So therefore, number one, she says, Shema b'koli. B'koli always means listen to every word that I say. Shema b'koli la'asher ani mitzaveh otach. I am commanding you. She knows that this is going to be difficult. She makes it very clear to Yaakov, I'm not requesting, I'm not begging, I am commanding. I believe the Ksav HaKabbal at one point says, you know who Ani is? The great Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani is commanding you. This is command. This command comes not only from me, but this is a divine command. La'asher ani mitzaveh utach, that I command you. Lech no'el atzon. Please go to the... All of a sudden, you know, after the first pasuk in which she speaks in such sharp, strong language, she now becomes softer. Lechno, please, please, please go to the sheep. V'kachli mishom, and take from me from there. Shnei gedoyei izim, two young goats. Tovim, good ones. Ve'eso tam matamim la'avicha, I will make them delicacies for your father, kasher, ohev, as he loved. In a few moments, we're going to have to talk about these matamim. The delicacies. What do the delicacies mean? Does this mean something that, you know, when Yitzchak has had a gute gesunte 300 gram steak with mashed potatoes and then he can give blessings? What's this matamim? What is it? It's just stam and af essen? No. Oh, there's much more over here. Let's go another few psukim. Ve'heveta ala avicha, you shall bring it to your father, va'achal, and he will eat, ba'avur ashe yivarechecha, in order that he should bless you, lifnei moto, before he dies. Yom Yaakov l'Rivka, imo Yaakov said to his mother Rivka, hein Esav ochi ish so'ir, my brother Esav is a hairy man, hairy, hoary, Vanochi ish chalak, and I am smooth. My father may touch me, and he'll know that I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Yeah, ulai yimusheni avi. Maybe my father will touch me, and I will be like a mocker, somebody who's making fun of him in his eyes. Mother, you're going to bring upon me curses and not blessing. But Tomalo, Imo, his mother, said to him, your curse shall be upon me. Again, Shma Bikoli, listen precisely to everything I have to say. V'leich kachli, and go take it from me. V'yelech, v'yikach, v'yofi l'imo. He went, he took, and he brought to his mother. How do you understand those words? Is there any indication you can have whether he's doing it with speed and with haste, or he's doing it Nebuch, he has to do it. He has to do it. You know how he's doing it? Or is he doing this, as the Medrash says, bent, forced, and crying? How does the Medrash know to read that into these words? Because go where you want. Avram has three dirty Bedouin outside, 99 years old. Third day after his bris milah, vayimahir, he hurried, vayoratz, and he ran. Nachamo vayimahir, and he hurried. He hurries, he runs, he goes back and forth. Rivkala has vatamahir, she hurried, vatoratz, she ran. Eliezer, vayoratz, he ran, vayimahir, and he hurried. Any place where people are doing something significant and important, over here, he's fulfilling his mother's mitzvah. I would have expected that it should said at least, Vayimaher, Vayelech, Vayoratz, Vayikach, Vayimaher, Vayoratz, Vayelech, Vayikach, Vayove. No. Bland, completely bland, because Yaakov is going with great difficulty. He's doing it because he has to do it, not because he wants to do it. He wants no part of being one who is going to deceive his father. He is going because his mother told him. So therefore, vayelech, vayikach, vayove, li'imo, and watch what's going to happen. Vatas imo matamim kasher ohev aviv. His mother made matamim just like his father loved. Wait. Did it ever occur to Esav to ask his mother to make it? No, who's going to make it? Esav, who's going to make the matamim? Who's going to make it? He's going to make it. He's going to do everything. Over here you're going to see Yaakov is going to do nothing except the barest minimum of all. Esav is going to not only hunt and shecht and bring and slay and flay and cook and bake and barbecue and bring into it all. Not him. His mother does it. Fatikach Rivka's big day Esav benoha godo hachamudot asher itaba bayit, and Rivka took the clothing of Esav that was in the house. She didn't even bother to tell Yaakov, go to the closet and take out Esav's... No. He's not going to do a thing. She takes it, fatalbesh, and she clothes him with it. Krank biste to put, go to the closet and get the clothing. Krank biste to put it on yourself. He's doing nothing. He is going through a process of fulfilling the minimum because he's caught between two impossible poles. He's caught between the command of his mother, Kibbut Aim and Kibbut Av, and he's caught in a terrible, terrible dilemma. And then what else does it say? Vatalbesh et Yaakov bino HaKotan, and she puts the clothing upon Yaakov, her younger son. Vet Orod Gidoyehu Yisim Hilbisha Yodo, and the skins with hair on them, she put it on his hands. He can't do anything. He doesn't want to do anything. Valcheltat Savarov, and where his neck is so clean, without hair. Watch this. Just watch this. Watch this pasuk. Batitin et hamatamim vet halechem asher osoto b'yad Yaakov b'no. You get what's happening? She took everything and she put it in his hand. Yankala, you can't pick it up. It's all here. Pick up the tray already and take it to your father. No, no, no. She knows he's not going to do anything. She puts it into his hand. Vayovo el Aviv, and he came to his father. Vayomer Avi. By the way, if you really want to know that what I'm saying is correct, later on, if he wanted to say Vayovo, he came to his father. When Esav is going to come in, it's going to say Vayovei, and he brought to his father. Yaakov just comes to his father, and there happens to be food in his hand. He didn't prepare it, he did nothing, he didn't pick it up, he didn't take it. He's caught on the horns of a terrible dilemma. What about Rivka? What gives Rivka the right to go ahead and deceive her husband? Two, why doesn't she just walk in and tell her husband, Yitzchak, I heard what you're planning to do. It's a terrible mistake. Esav is a rosh and a rush of the highest order, of the lowest order. What are you doing? How do you think you're going to give the brachas to Esav? Why is there no communication? So we know what the amateur psychologists are going to say. The amateur psychologists don't know what's taking place over here in this entire story. They don't get it. And there is something that Rivka knows that Yitzchak doesn't know. And this knowledge to which Rivka is privy is knowledge that she cannot tell Yitzchak. Not only she cannot tell Yitzchak, she doesn't want to tell Yitzchak. What is the knowledge that she is privy to? Right there at the beginning of the Sedra. It said that she was going through a terrible pregnancy. Vatomer, and she said, Lomo zeh anochi, why is this happening to me? And she went to seek from God. What's happening over here? Vayomer Hashem lo, and God said to her, Shnei goyim bevitneich, there are two nations in your womb. Your pregnancy is indeed different than any other pregnancy. Because there's a clash of civilizations that's being played out in your womb. A clash of civilizations that's going to continue until the end of history. And only at the end of history will the younger one rise to greatness over the younger one. She knows exactly what's happening. She has been told that Yaakov is going to be the great leader of a great people, God's people. She knows that. Yitzchak doesn't know it. Targum Unkelus, right over here on the spot. Targum Unkelus says, V'rivka shomat, Rivka hears, and he says, Ruach HaKodesh. Divinely, she is told what's taking place. She knows what's going on. All right? So she knows exactly what the end of history is going to be. She knows what's playing itself out right now. Why doesn't she tell Yitzchak? Because the pasuk at the beginning of the Sedra had said, Vayomer Hashem lo. God said to her. Said to her means that she has not been granted the permission to share this information with anybody. This information is for the woman who's suffering so terribly in this painful pregnancy. Then again, thank God that Yitzchak didn't know. When I say didn't know, I mean the following. I personally believe that anybody who thinks Yitzchak was unaware of what a Rosh Esav is. If he got the point when somebody asks, Tata Laban, how do you take Meiser from salt? You know, this is a frummy woomy guy that ain't all genuine. He's not really, he's not for real. He's trying to impress you. Tata Laban, he's not a fool. He's not blind. He's Yitzchak Kadosh Eyom. But there's a plan over here. At the beginning of the Seder, it said also that first section, it said that Yitzchak loved Esav and Rivka loves Yaakov. V'Rivka uheves, v'yehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befiv. I'm reading from the beginning of the Seder. Yitzchak loved Esav because his hunting was in his mouth. V'Rivka uheves at Yaakov, and Rivka loves Yaakov. When it talks about Rivka's love of Yaakov, it's written in present tense. The love of Rivka for Yaakov goes on into eternity. But the pasuk is very clear. Yitzchak loved Esav, but he knew who he's dealing with. And more than that, I say the following. Yitzchak had to maintain his relationship with Esav. He had to maintain the relationship with Esav because the fact is that what hangs in the balance right now, as this drama is unfolding in the house of Yitzchak, what hangs in the balance over here is the very life of Yaakov himself. How so? At the end of the Seder, right after the story is all over, Vayistom Esav et Yaakov. Esav despised, he hated Yaakov. And he wanted to kill his brother. And he says, Torah quotes, that when my father will die, I will kill him. He doesn't do it immediately. Why doesn't he do it immediately? You know why he doesn't do it immediately? Because he has a relationship with Yitzchak. He can't do anything that terrible in the life of his father. Vayistom Esav et Yaakov al habracha asher birach avov. Esav hated Yaakov. Vayomer Esav belibo. Esav said in his heart, Yikrevu yimei evel avi, when the days of the mourning for my father will come, vahargo et Yaakov achi, I will kill my brother Yaakov. In other words, the moment of great anger will pass and he can't do anything. Why can't he do anything while Yitzchak is alive? Because his devotion to his father is too great. There is a relationship. That relationship saves Yaakov's life. There's going to be a second time that the relationship between Yitzchak and Esav saves Yaakov's life. You know what saving Yaakov's life means? Saving all of Jewish history. In next week's Seder, Yaakov flees to the house of Lavan. On the way, Rashi tells us the story, he is stopped by Eliphaz. Eliphaz, the son of Esav, was told by his father, Eliphaz, go kill Uncle Yaakov. In other words, so it won't be Esav, and it won't be at the house, it'll be out on the road, and Eliphaz rides hard, and he catches up with Yaakov, and he's ready to kill his uncle Yaakov. And Rashi says, Kivon shegodal b'cheiko shel Yitzchak, because Eliphaz, the son of Esav, had been raised on the lap of Yitzchak, Moshach es yado, he couldn't do it. At the last moment, he can't do it because he was raised by Yitzchak. Do you understand? Now Yitzchak has saved Yaakov's life twice. Maybe Rivka understands this also. Can't go ahead and destroy that relationship if there's any hope ever that something will come of Esav. She cannot deny Esav that relationship that he has with Yitzchak.
Why does he hate him? What's the cause of this hatred?
The cause of the hatred? Do you know what you're asking? You know what you're asking? I'll give you, I described it a few months ago. I'll give you, no, I won't give it to you, I won't part with it. But if you want to read a 1,200-page book that talks about the lethal obsession, the hatred to Jews and to the family of Yaakov that we live with ad hayom hazeh through a whole world. I'll ask you about the whole, what do they want from us? Who's bothering anybody? We are one of the greatest blessings to mankind. What do they say? What did, it was in yesterday's paper. 30% of all the great inventions in the world of technology and is all Jewish brains. It's all the world, in the world of medicine, what we've accomplished. Why do they hate us? I don't know why they hate us. The only thing I may not forgive Jewish brains for, there would be no cell phones without Israeli technology. And cell phones, of course, are a klola, a shalom tzuva batorah. Okay, I have to get that in. Watch. We have so much more to say. We have so much more to say. So what do we have so far? So far we have very clear that Yaakov is caught in the midst of a terrible dilemma. He has kibudim and he has kibudav. He has an insistent mother and he has a father who's chayv in kibudav. His mother wants him to deceive his father. Why does Rivka deceive? So we know now why Rivka deceives. Because she knows something that Yitzchak doesn't know, and she can't share this information with Yitzchak. She knows that the greater of the two is Yaakov. And therefore, very fascinating, a number of times over here in the Pasha, they refer to Yaakov b'no ha-koton and Esav b'no ha-godol. The word Bechor is only going to be used once in the parasha, when Yaakov is going to tell his father Yitzchak, Anochi, I am Esav Bechorecha, I am your firstborn Esav. We're going to get to that in a moment. Yeah, what do you want? Louder.
Why couldn't Rivka let history play itself out?
Why couldn't what?
Rivka let history play itself out.
Ah. Simple. He asks, why couldn't Rivka let history play itself out? So first of all, you have to understand, you know what we learn from here? And there are many other places in Tanakh where a Navi knows what's going to happen, but that does not free him from the responsibility of doing whatever is necessary to make sure that it happens. The classic example, last week's Haftarah. Nasan HaNavi knows that Shlomo is going to be king. He's the one who prophesied that Shlomo is going to be king. There's now a threat. There is a threat to the kingship of Shlomo. Adoniyahu ben Chagit, one of the children of David, mounts a rebellion. Ani emloch, I am going to be king. So there he goes. Here he goes running immediately to Bathsheba, and he tells Bathsheba, you and your son, you are all in grave danger. Go immediately to David and tell David, you promised me. And while you're talking to him, I'm going to come in and I'm going to buttress and strengthen your words. What's he doing? Why does Nasan HaNavi simply sit back and say, and laugh at Adoniyahu ben Chagis and Yoav ben Tzruya and Tzadok HaKohen, all this whole group of conspirators that are going down over there to Silwan, to the Gihon, and they're going to mount the rebellion against David. He should just sit in the palace and have a drink and laugh his head off because he knows the prophecy. Nope. You know what you learn from the Navi? You have to do what has to be done. And wasn't that in the parasha also? The Rebbeim is not going to send a shidduch for Yitzchak. What do you think? He's going to let Yitzchak sit around with no shidduch? Then Avraham Eliezer sit back and say, any one of these days, you know, just like those three Arabs came walking by, you know who's going to come walking by? Some girl who's going to be a great shidduch for Yitzchak. Oh, no. We're living in a world where we have to do. Rivka has a responsibility, and she is not going to rest for a moment until she carries out her responsibility. Yes?
We couldn't let history play itself out because the brachos were, in fact, that Yaakov would be able to have a tal asachot from the...
A little louder.
Yeah.
They couldn't let history play itself out because the brachos that Rivka wanted Yaakov to have was Matal Hashemayim was material benefits, and she saw that if the Jewish people throughout the Golos didn't have some material benefits, that would have...
Asking a question that I... not that I'm not equipped to deal with it now, but if I'm going to have to deal with your question...
It's not a question, it's just the answer to the flavor.
No, it's not... it's not that, because... Give me a few minutes. I may not get to you. I may simply leave you behind in a cloud of smoke, but it's an important statement and a question. All right. Okay. All right. I may go into extra innings next week. Let's just go a few psukim further, and we'll start saying there's so much to understand this parasha. Anyway... he comes in. Vayovo el Aviv. He came to his father and he said, "My father, Vayomer." And Yitzchak says, "Hineni, mi ata b'ni? Who are you, my son?" Vayama Yaakov el Aviv, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. Three words. So of course, all the big geniuses. What a lie! What a lie! How does the man lie like that? All right. So everybody knows the Rashi. Anochi, I'm Yaakov. Esav is Bechorecha. Esav is your firstborn. All right. Okay. Better. I'm going to take you one giant step further. Later on, when Esav comes in and he identifies himself, if you look further down on the page, you'll see it's the last thing that is underlined. Yitzhak, his father said to him, "Miato, who are you?" He asks the second one the same question. And he said, "Ani bincha berchorcha Esav." Are these the same? Esav says, "Ani bincha, your son, berchorcha, your firstborn son, Esav." What does Yaakov say? Anochi Esav Bechorecha. I'll tell you from the very start, light years separate these two statements. And one must be sensitive to everything that's taking place over here. And what you're going to see is that Yaakov is consciously dropping hints to his father. He's doing what his mother told him to do, but he's dropping hints to his father. He's raising doubts and questions in the mind of his father. He wants to be caught. By the way, we forgot to mention that when he says to his mother, she sends him and he says, "Ulai Yimusheni Avi." I think we may have made some reference to it last week. He says, "Ulai Yimusheni Avi." Now, if you're afraid that somebody is going to catch you less, then you would say, "Pen Yimusheni Ve." We had a similar instance last week when Eliezer says, "Ulai lo tove ha'isha." Maybe the woman will not want to come. Mm. Now, if he meant that, "Oy nebuch, I may fail in bringing a kala because she won't want to come," then in proper Hebrew he should have said, "Pen, nebuch, lest it will happen." You know what ulai always means? Hey, maybe. So Rashi explains over there. Eliezer had a daughter. He wanted Yitzchak to be his son-in-law. So you know what he's saying? it was long before Freud but it was a Freudian slip. It was an Eliezer slip. Ulai, hey, maybe this girl won't want to come. And Avram will have no choice but to turn to me, that my daughter should marry. I saw this brought in one of these newspapers this past Shabbos, you know, that what evil lurks in the minds of men. One of these frummy, woomy English language papers. If I give you one more hint, to figure out exactly which one. You know, sometimes there's a lot of good stuff, by the way. There's a tremendous amount of good stuff. But here, I'm the big critic, so I have to end up with an article that was so bad I couldn't take it. All right. So she says, you see the evil that lurks in the mind of Eliezer. You may remember what I said last week. What I said last week is, yes, this thought lurked in the mind of Eliezer. And do you know what the greatness of Eliezer was? Despite his own interest, he was able to carry out his master's mission to the greatest pinnacle of success. That was his greatness. The fact that, yes, he wanted Yitzchak to be his son-in-law. He had every reason to want the mission to fail. But he was able to overcome it. That was his greatness. Ulai means, if only it would be so. When Yaakov does an Eliezer, I don't have to call it a Freudian slip anymore. Now, when Pashas told us it can be an Eliezer slip. Maybe my father will feel me and he'll see. He'll find out that I didn't pull the wool over his eyes. So what's happening over here is, you know what Yaakov's interest now is? He's going to go through the motions of fulfilling everything that his mother commanded him. But he's going to be sending out those messages. And one of the most important messages is, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. You know why? Because in normal Hebrew, you know what he should have said? Exactly what Esav himself in fact said. Ani Bincha Bechorecha Esav. That's the way normal speech. He's speaking in an abnormal fashion. You know why he's speaking in an abnormal fashion? Sending a message, Tata, be very careful. See who's here before you. What's abnormal about what he says? Is there a difference between ani and anochi? You never thought about it, huh? Why is there a big difference between ani and anochi? I have to condense it. Tremendous difference between ani and anochi. The difference between ani and anochi, ani represents identification. I am. You know who I am? I'm Bincha, your son, your firstborn son, Esav. Plain. Anochi means something different. I, to the exclusion of all others. For example, right here in this Sedra, at the beginning of the Sedra, she's going through a terrible pregnancy. She comes before God. Rivka comes to the Navi and asks what's going on. And she says, if this is pregnancy, Lama ze Anochi. You know why she's saying Anochi? I'm the only one who suffers such a terrible pregnancy. Lama ze Anochi, why have I been singled out? Esav, a few psukim later, he comes into the house, Eis gemidget, Eis gemidget. I'm going to die. You know what he means by I'm going to die? I don't care about the rest of the world. I'm only concerned about me. I'm going to die. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I, to the exclusion of all others, am God your God. There is no other. And therefore the second one of the Aseret HaDibrot is Lo Yelecho Elohim Achirim Aponai, there shall be no other God before you. Kayin turns to God and says, Hashomer Ochi Onochi? Am I the only one who's my brother's keeper? He has a father, he has a mother. Onochi is different than Ani, and boy, I can show many differences. Many psukim will become more clearly understood. Yitzchak should immediately have taken notice. And it's possible and probable that he did. Why is this fellow telling him, I and I alone am Esav, your firstborn? What in heaven then does he mean? And it may very well be. That's exactly why Yitzchak begins to wonder, and therefore he says, come over. He wants him to come over and kiss him and start touching him. His curiosity or his fear is aroused by this strange statement. Esav talks normal talk. Pa, I'm Esav, your firstborn, you know me? You know? Esav? Anochi. Anochi, and what else? It says, Esav bechorecha. There's another change over here. How does Esav say it? The word bechor, before the name. Yaakov is saying, Esav, before bechorecha. All of this is not normal talk. In order to arouse the curiosity of Yitzhak, he wants Yitzhak to know. He's sending a message. But you know what? Yitzchak is going to get it. And despite the fact that his doubts are aroused, and take a look what it says. Vayomi Yitzchak al beno. Wait, here. Kumna. Oh, by the way. Osisi kashe dibarto elai. What does he mean, I did everything you said to me? You know what Yaakov is telling his father? Everything you ever told me all my life. I always did everything as you wanted. I fulfilled all of the mitzvahs. He's sending him such a powerful message. Make no mistake, Yaakov is not fooling anybody. Yitzchak is not fooled. By the way, I also hold that he was never fooled about Esav. But he only understood that this Esav has such evil in him, if there is no way in which it's going to be tempered or checked or diminished somewhat. He has a destructive force in him that when it breaks forth, can destroy a world. Yitzhak is not chas v'shalom, an old blind fool. But there's a drama that's playing out over here. And by the way, I'll tell you one thing. The time for this morning is nearly up. I haven't scratched the surface of what has to be said over here. I just want to scratch a little more before it's all over. Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to say?
About not having communication between Rivka and Yitzhak. People knew that Joseph was alive, but they didn't tell Yaakov. So there are times when you're not supposed to tell.
That's true. Okay, true. So here it is one of those times. We started talking at the beginning about matamim. What is it? This Yitzchak needs the steak, we asked. He needs the steak. Oh. This whole drama is taking place on Pesach night. You know who was born that night? Yitzchak. It's Yitzchak's birthday. It's also the day that in future Jewish history is going to be the day of great salvation. This, for Yitzchak, is a special day. The matamim that he wants from Esav, they're going to have a Seder together. And you know what he wants to do at this Seder? He wants to initiate his son Esav into Jewish history. This is the night, the Leil Shimurim, that is set aside for the redemption of the Jewish people throughout all of history. What's playing itself out over here of what Yitzchak wants should be played out in the vain hope that Esav may also become part of that great effort called the Jewish people. But it's not to be. He begins to see that. He knows that it's Yaakov there. And even if he may not be certain, but he certainly agrees to give his blessing to this person, regardless who it may be. Because he says to him, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, Vayodayim Yedei Esav, in the hands, on the hands of Esav, and he blessed him. If there's a doubt who this is, why do you bless him? There was no doubt. There was no doubt. He knew what's happening here. Ad Khan. I don't know yet what I'm going to do next week. I don't know what I'm going to do. But Ad Khan. Very important. Torah has to be studied with holiness. We can't bring all of our foibles and internecine battles and bring them into the study of Torah. To be continued.
That was great.
Huh?
That was great.
Thank you.